Millions of Americans are using prescribed medicines daily and putting up with the risk of side effects. If you feel trapped on lifelong drugs and want off of them, there is a way. Pharmaceutical products create a weakness and dependency. Eventually, weakness leads to failure. The solution is sources that are strengtheners, which lead to restoration. Contact Apothecary Herbs for their free product catalog and discover what professional strength herbal formulas can do for your heart, kidneys, pancreas, digestion, prostate, brain, and more. Call now 866-229-3663 or visit online thepowerherbs.com. Call now to order and empower yourself. 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Everyone is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life. And you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadow sweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online thepowerherbs.com. As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless.
1, 2, 3.
Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. Here on Herb Talk, we like to empower you. That's what we're going to do. Magical engineer Frank and I are going to do that. We got a great show. We're going to be talking about the things that prematurely age your brain and how we can avoid that. Also, we're going to maybe touch on liver cancer and some other things. We'll see how the hour goes. And we do have a quack report. And I hope everybody had a great Father's Day out there. But before we get to all that good stuff, a big salute and semper fi to righteous men and women in uniform. I'm lifting all this nation up in prayer. You, me, and, the cat's meow, as they say. And I did bring my devotional, and today's devotional comes from Psalms 8 and 19 and 1 Corinthians 6 and Jeremiah 29. It goes like this. I speak to you continually. My nature is to communicate through, though not always in words, I give you glorious sunsets across the sky day after day. I speak in the faces and voices of loved ones. I caress you with gentle breezes, which the Bible says is one of God's treasures. And I refresh you with delights. I speak softly in the depths of your spirit, where I have taken up residence. And you can find me in each moment when you have eyes to see and ears to hear. Ask my spirit to sharpen your spiritual eyesight and hearing, and I rejoice each time you discover my presence. Practice looking and listening for me during quiet intervals. Gradually you'll find me in more and more of your moments, and you will seek me and find me, and when you seek me above all else. That's right. God is a priority. Put him first. And seek the Lord's face, mind, time, it grows short, because that is the way. And without further ado, let's do the Quack Report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, first up on the Quacker, they say liver cancer deaths are going up. They say new study from the Cancer Journal of Clinicians, they say there's some possible reasons for this increase in higher rates, not only in hepatitis C, but liver cancer. They also think obesity rates and alcohol consumption and lack of healthy foods are also contributing, but they did find under recent meta-analysis under 16 different studies that included studies in Asia and the United States and Europe, there's this link between pesticide exposure and developing one of the most common forms of liver cancer, which is hepatocellular carcinoma. The study determined that pesticide exposure is linked to about 71% increased risk in liver cancer. So globally, liver cancer is second to lung cancer, but in the U.S., it's the fifth leading cause of death for men and eighth for women. Moving along the Quacker, heart attack vaccine on the horizon. Have you heard about this one? Yep. Once a year jab is all you're going to need. It's in clinical trials now, so they can get rid of those statin pills that you take every day. They say that the way the vaccine will work, it'll boost the body's ability to remove cholesterol from the blood, cutting the levels as much as a third, which, you know, scary thought, and I'll tell you why in a minute. Treatment could be on the market, but this single once-a-year cholesterol vaccine is going to cost you $8,000 to $1,500, according to research. Side effects include increased risk of developing diabetes. Mm. Well, cholesterol, your brain uses cholesterol, so if you're going to move a third of cholesterol from your brain, you're going to have memory issues, just like the statin drugs give you. All right, moving along the Quacker. Prescription antibiotics almost always completely useless for urinary tract infections, according to a recently studied that was published by research at Johns Hopkins Geriatric Center in Baltimore. They said that giving people who have these urinary tract infections these prescription antibiotics, not effective, and they said it may even be more harm, do more harm than good. So with urinary tract infections. So if you're looking for something that works, because I know all those pathogens are resistant now to the antibiotics, check out the Kidney Bladder Cleanse Kit at thepowerherbs.com. Last but not least in the Quack Report, researchers find that if you give a kid an egg a day, it will increase his growth. Researchers at Washington University, St. Louis, said that eggs are good for kids. It reduces their chances of becoming stunted in their growth and underweight. So eggs are full of a lot of nutrition essentially needed for growing kids, like vitamin B12, vitamin A, K, E, and also D. Vitamin D's in there, as well as selenium, zinc, and other immune-boosting minerals. But do get the free-range eggs, chicken eggs would be healthier, taste better if you do that. It costs a little more, but they're worth it. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Frank. Okay, so we're going to be talking about the things that will prematurely age your brain. More people are concerned with cognitive health these days, and according to McGovern Institute of Brain Research at MIT, they say brain disorders are on a historical high. They've got more of them than ever before. So they reported that in the UK, for instance, 35% of all the disease seems to be attributed to brain disorders. So any kind of cognitive failure comes with extraordinary economic costs. Now, Europe is reporting that brain disorders cost patients about $4,500 a year. Cognitive maladies represent about 40% of the lost productivity in the workplace. So brain disease, you know, encompasses, you know, a lot of things, neurological malfunction like Parkinson's, MS, Alzheimer's, personality disorders, the psychiatric illnesses, as well as autism, seizures, migraines, and other brain-type conditions. Now, in the United States, the United Nations, they state 1 in 6 people worldwide are going to suffer from brain disease. Now, in the U.S. alone, 1 in 6 children are born and diagnosed with developmental disabilities. So a small number of conditions that science attributes, they attribute those problems to heredity. So according to Oregon Health Science, a university, Brain Awareness Week began in the year 2000. They started promoting cognitive health back then. And if you want to go to the Oregon Health Science University website, they have a list of brain-related diseases there, posted there. If you're on our newsletter subscription, which is free at thepowerofs.com, you would get a hot link for that. So we can be causing a lot of detrimental to ourselves. A lot of detrimental brain disease is happening worldwide. So let's take a look and see how we can protect our brain, our noodle, and not get sick like that. National average in the United States, the national average to be diagnosed with certain neurological diseases is on the rise. Right now, the United States has over 5 million that are suffering from Alzheimer's, 8 million with bipolar disorders, 2 million with epilepsy, 28 million with migraines, 1 million with Parkinson's, and 700,000 with brain cancer. So we got issues here. Well, let's look at some of the things that can hurt your brain. Avoid this. There are several things that we might want to avoid that have a negative effect on our brains. And this list, which is in no way complete, is this. Cannabis was on there. Marijuana was on the list, as well as inadequate sleep, obesity, idleness, alcohol consumption, heavy metals, chemotherapy, where you get that chemo brain going. Also, loneliness, stress, sugar, smoking, and of course, your diet. So we're going to look at a few of these, not all of them, but a few of these. But, you know, I had to look into the marijuana one. You know, I did. Now, in 2014, the Center for Brain Health at the University of Texas in Dallas looked into long-term use of marijuana on the brain, because many studies have been done on the plant, but few looked at long-term use. So the problem is people are using this plant as a recreational therapy, but it's intended for a medicinal therapy. So typically this is one of our pain herbs that, you know, kind of been regulated. So the Center for Brain Health looked at MRI scans, IQ tests, cognitive tests, and they compared it to gender protocols and also compared it to long-term effect of those that were using alcohol and tobacco. And they concluded that long-term use of recreational marijuana caused gray matter loss in the brain, which means it negatively affects the connectivity or wiring of the brain, and it starts to degrade. So according to their research, this destruction of the brain occurs within 6 to 8 years of using the plant. So long-term use can make your brain shrink, basically. Additionally, the National Institutes on Brain Abuse reported in April of this year, and they compared people who do not use marijuana to those who do use it on a regular basis, and it showed how marijuana alters the brain's connections in the area that houses memory, learning, and impulse control. So a New Zealand study reported that regular use of marijuana results in an 8 to 10 point reduction in IQ. So, and this is because the THC in the plant alters how the hippocampus, a part of your brain that stores memory and information processing, it alters how that functions. So this area seems to be altered with the loss of some neurons, and it produces what medicine would say looks like an age-related loss of brain cells. So put another way, when you lose your hippocampal neurons every day over 8 years or longer, we experience a nerve cell loss in the brain, making the brain age twice as fast. All right, moving along to loneliness. In 2016, Psychiatry Today ran this report on the effects of loneliness on your brain, and they also found that humans have different tolerances to being alone. So for those who seem to tolerate aloneness better, the solitude agrees with them, and compared to others that don't, it has a lot to do, they say, with that person's neural mechanisms. So in the study, in neuroscience at Pikawer Center at MIT, it looked at these dopamine levels and brain neurons. So their research led them to identify the area of the brain that identifies with loneliness, which seems to be near the back of the brain called the dorsal raphe nucleus, or DRN area. And it appears that your dopamine neurons are super sensitive to periods of social isolation. So individuals can develop depression, have higher levels of stress hormones, their immune system can become weak, they can become ill, and even premature death if not corrected. So isolation for some, not a good thing. Now, for those who tolerate the solitude better than others, the researchers think their brains, their dorsal raphe nucleus, is wired to prefer social isolation without feeling lonely. They don't have any guilt over being alone. All right, looking at smoking. The folks at WebMD, you know, posted some research that appeared in the 2015 Journal of Molecule Psychiatry comparing smokers to non-smokers, and their brain scans revealed that smokers have a thinner cortex compared to non-smokers. So the brain cortex houses memory, language, and perception, as well as learning. So if smokers stop smoking, they said they can achieve partial restoration of the cortex, but not all. So science reports that as we age, the cortex will thin, so smoking accelerates that aging of the brain. Here's a quote from Dr. Sharif Kamira, McGill University in Montreal, says smokers should be informed that cigarettes could hasten the thinning of the brain's cortex, which could lead to memory, learning, and thinking problems. Cortical thinning seems to persist for many years after someone stops smoking. Well, sugar is on the list, the white stuff. In 2012, some research out of UCLA found that sugar and the high fructose corn syrups interfere with the brain, causing memory and learning problems, and slows brain function. They reported then when we eat sugar, it can slow the synaptic activity, and if we overdo sugar, we develop a communication between the brain cells. It's damaged. So communication gets damaged. So the sugar interferes with the brain hormones and also those that regulate brain cell function. So too much sugar lowers insulin inside your brain. And when the levels drop in insulin, the insulin is there to supposedly strengthen synaptic connections between your brain cells. So when that drops, it weakens that. So the researchers also concluded that sugar in the diet contributes also to anxiety and depression. So any damage to the brain can increase our risk of cognitive brain disease like Alzheimer's. Alcohol was on the list. Oh, yeah. The National Institutes on Alcohol Abuse reports that regular consumption of alcohol interferes with the brain's communication pathways. So over time, it can change the brain's structure and function. The effects are evident in mood, behavior, coordination, and cognitive functions. Also, stress was included on our list, and compounded stress can prematurely age your brain. Research at New York Mount Sinai School of Medicine reports how stress damages the brain. The brain has to respond to internal stress, and this affects memory and cognitive function. So if stress continues, it accelerates memory loss, and the brain continues to age. So repeated stress can shrink the hippocampus area of the brain, which is a vital part of the brain's limbic system that regulates long-term memory. And, of course, brain shrinkage decreases your what they call neuroplasticity. Here's a quote from Dr. Roberta Lee. She's an integrative medicine physician at Beth Israel Medical Center. She says, patients come in complaining of faulty memory and wonder if they are developing dementia. We do a workup, an MRI scan, and if it looks normal, I ask them about their lifestyle, and I often find that they have compounded stress. End of quote. Okay, so diet was on the list. So in the 2014 Medical Daily reported on some foods that have a negative impact on our brains, and they listed some of these foods. One was caffeine. Don't drink anything, they say, that has caffeine if you suffer from mental illness, according to Dr. Lauren Nepitaliano at Bryan Hospital in Pennsylvania. She said that caffeine passes into the brain and increases the risk of manic or panic attack episodes. She says caffeine also creates an addictive effect and can offer headaches. All right, MSG also listed, and this food additive offers side effects such as, you know, headaches, and a lot of people can even get anaphylactic shock, but it can also influence brain health. MSG can attack your brain stem and offer it overstimulates the neuron receptors. The increase in the impulses exhausts brain cells and can die hours later. So beware, the food industry has created new names for MSG. They call it natural flavor, soy protein isolate, sodium caseinate, autolyzed yeast extract, and other names. So they're kind of hiding it from you. Also was pre-cooked or processed foods. Foods that are devoid of a lot of nutrition cause an overstimulation and production of dopamine, which leads to food cravings. So these foods are known to affect behavior and cognitive function. And since these foods contain more chemicals and synthetic compounds, it's harder for the body to metabolize and detoxify. Therefore, a study in 2012 in the Journal of Clinical Investigation found that such foods can cause damage to the hippocampus in the brain, which regulates hunger, thirst, and your cycles and rhythms like sleep and menstruation. Salt was also on the list. Hurts your brain. The processed salt, of course, that is white and dry, contains nothing, no minerals. It's essentially a waste product. So science says that this salt will decrease cognitive function. And so you want to avoid the processed salt. And processed salt is going to be in your processed foods, also in your canned goods and snack foods and sport drinks. So unprocessed Celtic sea salt, which is sun-dried, contains the 84 microminerals, hasn't been processed out, and it's healthy for your body. And includes it's healthy for the cardiovascular, so it doesn't give you that hypertension risk. So you want to discern, learn about the difference between healthy and unhealthy salt out there. And also in the diet area was the trans fats. The fats called omega-6 fats were told that those are the bad cholesterol, LDLs, and they have a negative impact on your brain. So in 2012, this article in the Journal of Neurology said that these types of fats cause brain shrinkage, arterial stiffness, and interfere with brain nerve transmission. So, you know, you want to watch those processed oils and all those those unhealthy fats out there. What do you got? Frank's weighing in. He says, you got to wonder, if they say it's not harmful, why do they go such lengths to hide it? You got to wonder about that. Yes, you do. Well, what about things that are going to help your brain? Well, there are a number of things we can do to help our brain. And here's a brief list. First of all, you want to get regular exercise. Circulation, very important to the brain. Also, meditation and prayer has been known to help your brain, as well as learn a musical instrument. You'd be surprised what that'll do for your noodle. Also, omega-3 fatty acids and B12 nutrition is very helpful for the brain. So diets that include also blueberries and walnuts, which we'll get into that in just a second a little bit further. Multitasking is said to help your brain, as well as green tea. And, of course, we're going to get into some of the herbs that help you out. So your diet really is a major contributor to overall health, including, you know, functioning of your brain. So according to the Society for Neuroscience, certain foods can reverse the aging of your brain. So according to their report, they found that blueberries and walnuts reverse several parameters of brain aging related to motor and cognitive function. So scientists think that these foods reduce inflammation that affect the central nervous system. Here's a quote from one of the researchers. It was Dr. James Joseph, U.S. Department of Agriculture Human Nutrition Research Center at Tufts University in Boston. He says, it appears that compounds found in fruits and vegetables, including your walnuts, provide the necessary protection to prevent the demise of cognitive and motor function in aging in your brain. So definitely tap into God's good herbs out there and foods. Absolutely great. So learning to play a musical instrument, as we said, has a significant impact on your brain. Medical studies and MRI brain scans show a difference between certain areas of the brain when you have musicians versus non-musicians. So the area of the brain that changes structure after just 15 months of playing a musical instrument is the hippocampus. That's your learning center and your memory center. So science reports that musicians develop new neurons. So research has found that musicians also usually very good at math. So something restructuring, rewiring, just by playing, learning to play piano, violin, whatever. All right, so let's get down to it. Let's just protect our brain here. We're going to watch those nasty foods. We're going to get some healthy blueberries and walnuts and a good diet going. And we're going to get regular exercise. And there are many things that we can do to avoid damaging our brain and things we can do to help us have as healthy a brain as possible. So there are herbs, too, for the neurological area that can be used in addition to improving the lifestyle. And you want to avoid damaging your brain. For instance, there are herbs that will help you stop smoking, and herbs that help you avoid those headaches and having to use headache medicines, and herbs to help you avoid antidepressant drugs. So all drugs are in a class known as to be highly toxic, and toxins work against your nutrients. So toxins create metabolic blockages, and toxins increase our risk of disease. So if scientific research is reporting that, you know, meditation and thought can change your DNA, just think what you can do by removing toxins and heavy metals and pharmaceutical residues. You might want to learn more about organ cleansing and immune boosting. You can learn that from the experts. That would be apothecary herbs. They all teach you about toxin removal. Really important. And also getting the right nutrition is important. So, you know, cleanse and nourish is basically the way to go. So if you want to demand, whole foods in your supplements, as well as when you, you know, go to the store to buy groceries, whole food supplements are just as important if you want the benefits you're seeking. So call the experts, call Apothecary Herbs for their organic whole food cleanses and immune boosting formulas. You might want to check out their Smoker's Help, or if you want to quit smoking, all organic herbal headache formulas as well. They offer also sun-dried whole food salt, if you want to check that out, with all the minerals still in it. Yeah. So they also have a product catalog. If you want to check it out, they'll send you a free one. You can give them a call at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. 929-3663. If you're outside the U.S., 704-885-0277. Or you can visit them online at thepowerherbs.com. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. Girl, you got me thirsty for another cup of wine. Got a bug from you, girl, but I don't need a cure. I just stay up and then if I can for sure. All the good love when we're all alone. Keep it up, girl. Yeah, you turn me on.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free, 866-229-3663, or international callers, 704-875-8010. That's toll free, 866-229-3663, or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Our prescription for good health? Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson. No insurance card required.
The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
Yeah. Here on Herb Talk, and I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hey, we were just talking about how you can help your brain stay younger longer, and if you missed the first part of the show, you can always hear the replay in the archive area. Also, don't forget the folks at Apothecary Herbs, they've brought back the reward point program. Actually, when they upgraded their web store for mobile-friendly devices, they lost their old program for reward points, and so they had to develop this new one. So it's live. You have to register when you check out on their website at thepowerherbs.com, and you can earn 1.5% on your purchases to use for, well, whatever it is you're using in there to buy. So, and if you were in the old program, they did save your points, according to the engineers. They did a lovely job of transferring over all your points you had from the old program, so you didn't lose anything. So, you can go in there, log in, and you can check it out. So when you check it out, it'll show up at your checkout phase, and they're calling it a reward wallet, and you can manage, it's kind of more flexible. And anyway, technology at its best, right? Well, what I like is I like reward points. You know, I like using them. I use them at my Earth Fair store, organic market, and I just like them. All right, we're going to talk about liver cancer just a little bit since, you know, we were learning, you know, liver cancer is on the rise, and I think it's, you know, they're saying pesticides, you know, unhealthy foods. Well, liver cancer is on the rise, and a majority of it's due to you know, a lot of it's drugs and poor diets and probably the chemicals, too. So there are over like 24,000 new cases each year just in the U.S. and about 18,000 deaths a year from liver cancer. And the statistics bear out that more men, 12,000 men compared to 6,000 women, get liver cancer. So more African Americans, 11% of them die from liver cancer than the Caucasian, about 7.3%, and also Asian Americans die of liver cancer at a much higher rate, at 21.1%. Hispanics, they're at 13.8%. So if you get liver cancer and you're a white male, your survival rate through allopathic medicine is about 5 years, or about 7%. African Americans also have 5 years with about a 5% overall rate of survival. These are statistics based from medicine, by the way. So if you have complications, maybe HIV, or you have an autoimmune disease, then the rate drops, and your survival rate drops a lot. The average age that someone is diagnosed with liver cancer is about 55 or older, and 20% of the cases are sometimes they're 45 years and older. So the average loss of lifespan if you're diagnosed with liver disease is about 16 years. So liver cancer can be hard to diagnose because there are very few symptoms. And when it is diagnosed, it's generally then in an advanced stage. Therefore, liver cancer is one of the top three causes of death by cancer in Asia, Africa, fourth leading cause of cancer death worldwide for men. And, you know, I hear about these cases all the time. You know, people say, you know, I had this pain in my back and I went into the doctor and this is what they told me I had. And other than that, I had no symptoms. I felt healthy. Well, there's a couple categories for liver cancer. There's primary and secondary cancer. Primary liver cancer is in the liver tissue itself. The secondary is a type of cancer that spreads to the liver from another part of the body. So primary liver cancer accounts for about 70 to 85% of the cases. Now, worldwide, we got about 660,000 cases of liver cancer per year, with 80% of that being in developing countries. Now, China, they account for about 55% of the global total. Well, yeah, look at all the pollution they have, right? Ugh. Now, let's look at this global threat. About one-third of the world's total population, 2 billion people, is infected with hepatitis B. 1 million die every year. That's 2,800 people a day or 115 people an hour from hepatitis B. It's very easy to contract this virus. Symptoms are similar to the flu, some fever, some fatigue, joint and muscle pain, loss of appetite, nausea and vomiting. Jaundice, that yellowing in the eyes and skin, occurs after the liver gets damaged. So the medical treatment for hepatitis B is a vaccine. Hepatitis C is also going to cause you liver cancer if you get that. About 78% of the liver cancer cases are from hepatitis infections. What are the treatments? Well, liver cancer is one of the most fatal diseases, and there are few non-surgical treatments. So your choices are going to be surgery, chemotherapy, radiation therapy, and pre-Cretaceous ethanol injections, which is they inject you with alcohol through the skin into a tumor to kill the cancer cells. And then the radiation and chemo are, if they're ineffective on the primary liver cancer, then the primary treatment is a resection of the liver or a liver transplant altogether. So, and that is if the cancer has not spread outside of the liver. A majority of patients with primary liver cancer have cancer spreading to the adjacent blood vessels and other organs, the lymph nodes, and they tend to be not eligible for a liver transplant. So that's 70 to 80% of the cases. They're not eligible for a transplant. Now, if you want to know why people are dying of liver cancer in developing countries, you want to check out maybe the cost of a liver transplant. It's like $500,000. So the transplant itself, including a five-day hospital stay, can run as much as $750,000, roughly. Yeah. Then you've got the immune suppressant drugs. You got to take the rest of your life after that, and they run to like $21,000 a year. No. Yeah. It's like the cost of a car. All right. First law of natural healing. So what do you do when you get a sick liver? Well, you remember the first law of natural healing. You open up the elimination channels of the body and you get to work cleaning up the bowel, and you help the liver when you do that. So those two areas need a lot of work, and you do cleansing. So bowel cleansing and liver flushes are, what are very helpful. Of course, people go to their doctor. Your doctor's going to go, yeah, right. Well, their form of treatment is 100% mortality, basically. So what do you got to lose? So when you have liver cancer, I definitely like to use garlic because it will help a lot. Start with a clove a day and then work your way up. One large serving spoonful of olive oil, you can throw that in there. But you want to work up to several cloves a day. You'll gradually work up from there to about 3 cloves and 3 teaspoons of the olive oil per day. And you can even do a gallbladder flush if you have your gallbladder still. Gallbladder is tied in with the liver. They purge toxins together, so it's a good idea to cleanse that too. And you can do a liver gallbladder flush. You can purge them and take the stress, the cellular stress off there. So I like the folks at Apothecary Herbs, they have a whole instruction sheet that they send if you want to do a liver or gallbladder flush. And you use some milk thistle and some barberry and some tart citrus and, of course, your olive oil. And so you just follow the instructions. And if you've got stones in the gallbladder, you will actually see them when you have a bowel movement. They'll come out that through the bowel area. So basically, if you've got a congested system with a lot of waste material in it, this bogs down everything and gives disease a foothold. So if you have a severe case of liver cancer, if it were me, I would definitely do my organ cleanses all the way from bowel to blood system. And there's a certain way you want to do them for safety and success. Of course, the folks at Apothecary Herbs, if you get their catalog, their cleanses are listed in the order and how you do them. So you can find out there. So in addition to your cleanses, you might want to do some massage therapy, some castor oil packs over the liver area itself on the abdomen, because that draws more impurities out through the skin. Very inexpensive therapy to do. hydrotherapy will stimulate in circulation throughout the system. So you can learn how to do that. Cold sheet treatment is a fast track of toxins out of the body if you want to try that. You can find that therapy in the Power Herbs book, which you'll find on thepowerherbs.com. So you're going to use some herbs for cancer. There's lots of herbs for cancer. Chaparral, poke root, yellow dock, and some others. Very good stuff. Garlic, of course. And I can't forget dandelion root. Windsor Medical University discovered in 2012 that dandelion kills all known cancer cells. So definitely check out your cleanse options, because once you get the stumbling block of toxicity out of the system, it's easier for the body to regenerate and heal itself. And milk thistle has antioxidants, so the liver can replace sick dying cells with healthy new ones. And of course, use your cancer herbs is what I would do on top of that. So you've got tools and you have options, and I hope you choose the healthy ones, because drugs and surgery, toxicity and invasive procedures, well, we know what happens. We just had the statistics read. Okay, we got a few minutes. We're going to talk about Ebola a little bit. What happened to Ebola, Frank? You know, it was in the news a couple years ago. I thought we were just getting hit over the head with that. But, you know, there's a lot of similarities between Ebola and scurvy. Thought we'd kind of check it out a little bit. A lot of information on Ebola for the last couple of years through the news and the scare and then the vaccine, the experimental stuff. Well, let's look. Is Ebola a mutated or genetically modified form of scurvy? Well, normally scurvy is a sign of low levels of vitamin C in the body, and the disease gradually develops. With Ebola, the disease seems to mimic an advanced stage of scurvy, manifesting in no vitamin C left in the body in just a few days after you get the virus. So Ebola is a hemorrhagic fever virus, and victims bleed through the skin or openings like, you know, hair follicles, nose, eyes, and mouth. And there is minimal bleeding with cases of scurvy through skin lesions. So what's really happening when the body gets infected with Ebola? Has it mutated on its own, or is there a way to protect us from it? Let's check it out. So the human body can't survive without your vitamin C. This nutrient is responsible to support proper tissue strength, the shape of your cells, and it helps the skin to look younger. So vitamin C also helps to protect our cell membranes from toxins, waste materials, poisons, and from overactive immune system cells like those you would get during lupus. So vitamin C is also an important antioxidant, and it seems to work better if you have vitamin E. It promotes also wound healing. So vitamin C is this weapon against viruses and also cancer. So folks with cataracts, diabetes, asthma, periodontal disease, allergies, usually do not have enough vitamin C in their system. And research out of Linus Pauling also documented how beneficial vitamin C is against the common cold. All right, should you pop a bunch of vitamin C pills? Well, the supermarket shelves are full of jars of vitamin C. However, ascorbic acid occurs naturally in your citrus fruits, your bell peppers, rose hips, tomatoes, strawberries, and other foods, and even your herbs. So according to medical science, if you needed to avoid scurvy, your body needs about 60 milligrams of vitamin C a day, but most pills are like 500 milligrams to 1,000 milligrams. And some people just, you know, 20 grams, that would be 20,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day, produces diarrhea, which is the most common indication that you've overdid the vitamin C. Now, other symptoms, if you take too much C, are going to be headaches and nausea. However, you can't overdose on vitamin C because the body gets rid of the excess through the urine. So the standard rule of thumb when you take vitamin C supplements is about 1,000 milligrams a day for maintenance and about 5,000 milligrams to help with infections or if you're healing from injuries. So men tend to require more vitamin C than women. They have more red blood cells than we do, more muscle mass. So if you take a combination vitamin C E supplement The usual dose is going to be about 400 IUs to 1200 IUs with about 1 or 2 grams of vitamin C. Now, one organic orange, that's going to give you 1 gram or 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C. So oranges are a really good source of vitamin C because they also contain flavonoids and polyphenols. These are natural chemical antioxidants that offer you protection, but they also have the other minerals for uptake and absorption of the vitamin C. It's a whole food source, and it's superior. You can get a lot done with less when you get a whole food supplement going, and that would be your orange. Okay, let's look at orange power for a second. So if we eat a whole orange, is it better than orange juice? Well, eating a whole orange will provide extra nutrients such as your potassium and folate and, of course, fiber, which, you know, gets removed and reduced during juice processing. So more benefits are for eating whole oranges with vitamin C. The benefits will be it'll help your immune system better. It makes your skin look smoother and younger. It lowers your risk of rheumatoid arthritis. It lowers your risk of lung, mouth, and esophageal and stomach cancers. It reduces the risk of spinal bifida, so oranges contain a lot of Bs. It also protects, and it has a lot of amino acid, and it protects your blood system, lowers the risk of cardiovascular disease and strokes, also lowers the risk of anemia. So it helps the blood hold on to iron better. Also, oranges also most likely help with the immune system fight off Ebola viruses. However, for the best results, you'll want to implement oranges in your diet before you get sick, okay? So how do you take vitamin C? Well, if you decide to use a supplement of vitamin C, what are the sources you're going to take? Well, you're going to take large doses, you're going to have the diarrhea symptoms. So, well, you can start with a lower dose of vitamin C, let's say 100 milligrams, and then if you need to take more, you can go up from there. This is kind of a gradual way to help the body adjust without a whole lot of fuss. But according to Dr. Art Uhlein, large doses of vitamin C do not usually cause cannot usually cause kidney stones unless you have a history of kidney stones. So high amounts of C can also alter urine and fecal matter tests. So if you're going for screening for diabetes or colon cancers, be aware of that. So let's look at this vitamin C and scurvy thing again, because most people know what rebound effect is when it comes to prescribed medicines. It means that the drug eventually does not work, and then the patient winds up with the worse symptoms than when they started on the medicine. So is rebound scurvy the same? Well, rebound scurvy occurs when people who were taking large doses of vitamin C supplements and then suddenly stop taking them, the body will break down or use the stored vitamin C, clear that out, and what's left there, well, the body's expecting more vitamin C to be replenished. And when it doesn't get it, this produces a mild form of scurvy. And this can be avoided by slowly decreasing your intake of vitamin C supplement over the course of a few weeks. So be aware of that. Let's look at some of the things that can deplete your vitamin C. Smoking, drinking alcohol, street drugs, some prescription medicines, and of course a lot of stress. So how would you know if you were getting depleted of your vitamin C but not showing signs of scurvy? Well, you'd have frequent colds and viral infections, and your gums may bleed more than usual. So if you injure your tendons or ligaments, they're going to take longer to heal. Other symptoms of vitamin C depletion would be if you're diabetic, you would have loose teeth, swollen gums, bone and joint pain, rough, dry, or scaly skin, and possible some neurosis, which can change your personality. It's a personality, a behavior thing. So neurosis. So why do diabetics have a higher risk of having low levels of vitamin C? Well, it's because the ascorbic acid enters the cells through the same protein carrier as glucose or blood sugar. And by the way, hemorrhagic fever pathogens like Ebola take that same route. So when glucose levels are high, as in people with diabetes, the glucose is absorbed rather than the vitamin C into the cells, and the vitamin C is excreted in the urine. Therefore, diabetics, because of their disease, have a vitamin C blocking mechanism, and this isn't going to work help them. It's going to work against them, especially if they contract Ebola. So those who work around environmental pollutants are at a high risk. They'll have low levels of vitamin C. And by the way, signs of scurvy are feeling lethargic, having fatigue, and a change in personality. So here are some of the medical treatments that can deplete your vitamin C. If you're on non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, if you take tetracycline, if you take oral contraceptives, if you're taking acetaminophen-type drugs, aluminum antacids, barbiturates, chemotherapy drugs, nitrate heart drugs, as well as protein inhibitors or protease inhibitors, and also AIDS, HIV medicines, and Werfen or Coumadin for blood clotting or blood thinning purposes. So be aware of that. But here's the thing about the Ebola scurvy thing. Ebola virus is different from other viruses, as it does not enter the host cell and replicate. This disease causes a frailty in cell walls and capillaries, and the cells lose their integrity and then lose their vitamin C and then collapse and hemorrhage. So Ebola goes on to attack blood cell platelets, which are responsible for stopping hemorrhaging and by clotting. So interestingly, this capillary frailty and the bleeding, the skin lesions with scurvy due to a lack of vitamin C, so it's not surprising that either scurvy and Ebola have that same vitamin C issue mechanism. There's a hinge there. Disease slowly depletes the body of vitamin C with scurvy, exhausts the immune system until death occurs. But with Ebola, the depletion of vitamin C happens more rapidly, produces this advanced state of scurvy, if you will, in a matter of days instead of weeks. But there are some wonderful herbs out there that are going to inhibit Ebola viruses, like gentian root. Oh yeah, they discovered that years back. Medicine knows about that already, and so I don't know. They're probably trying to make a vaccine from gentian root, but you just go get some gentian root. You want to make sure you get your natural vitamin C. And people say, oh, what about, what's that orange stuff? It's not Tang. It's the other one. Essential C or something like that. It's a beverage, and they drink it usually cold and flu season. Well, you got to be careful with your vitamin C sources, because almost 90% of the vitamin C comes from China, if not more. So you definitely want to make sure you're getting a good source. I like to use rose hips, basically. I'm an herb girl. You know how it is. Now, if you're looking for some straight-up rose hips, we do include that in the body food mix. So you can check out that vitamin, mineral, protein plant powder that you just add to a smoothie or your favorite juice. And it has the rose hips in it, so you get your vitamin C that way. You get lots of nutrition that way. So if you're taking a bunch of pills, isolated stuff, it doesn't have the right nutrition combo chemistry, so go with the whole food. Thepowerherbs.com, you'll find the body food mix under the energy boosters tab, and check that out. One of the most popular items they make. People can't get enough of that. Thepowerherbs.com. Use that if you're trying to lose a few pounds, because it gets rid of the hungries, but you still get energy. You eat lighter, drop that weight pretty effortlessly, really. Thepowerherbs.com. If you want to call 866-229-3663, that's 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Do sign up for the newsletters. They're free, and you'll get empowered each and every week. Information you're not going to get anywhere else. I think, Frank, you can testify to that. Absolutely. Absolutely. We're out of time. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, so seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician if you dare before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, be well.